It looks like the NAR lawsuit is finally going to get settled, and that means that there are a lot of changes for real estate agents coming down the pipeline. Let's talk about it. What is going on? My name is Mr. Mongo, or you can call me Andrew. I am a team leader in Florida, and here's what you need to know about the NAR lawsuit. And I'm going to first go over all of the facts of what is going to happen or what it looks like is going to happen. And then we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about what could happen and what changes might occur. So first and foremost, NAR is settling the lawsuit that has been going on for a while. I didn't think they were going to settle until nearing the end of the year, maybe September, October timeframe, but it looks like it's going to be happening much sooner than most of us expected. In fact, we're thinking a lot of these changes are going to happen mid-June to July 1st, somewhere in that realm. So the very first thing that is happening is NAR is settling $418 million. Now, that's a lot of money, but that is a drop in the bucket compared to what could have been had the settlement or had the lawsuit continued to go and they tried to settle a little bit later. So on one aspect, kudos to NAR. On the second aspect, that is going to almost bankrupt NAR. Now, for those realtors out there watching, please keep in mind that NAR has already stated that they will not be raising dues in 2024 in order to pay for this, but I don't see a way that they can prohibit from raising dues in the future, being that this is going to kill most of their profit. And with the changes I'm about to talk about here in a moment, it is probably going to kill a lot of hobbyist realtors who only do this kind of as a side thing once or twice, if even that, per year. Which means a lot less money for NAR, which means more dues are going to have to go, because this is a four-year settlement, which means that $418 million needs to be paid over approximately 4 years. The second thing that's really important to note here is the release of liability. NAR has protected most of its members, as many as it can, to include individual agents, brokers, and MLSs. There are a few categories of people that will not be protected, however, and that is if you're doing over $2 billion in production every single year, or if you fall under one of these two umbrellas, Home Services of America and Berkshire Hathaway. Now, for those two, I wouldn't get all up in arms or anything quite yet. I believe that they're still kind of working in the lawsuit a little bit, so I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like for members of those two, but it's at least protected the majority of the real estate professionals. So good on NAR for that. That's exactly why we have them in place. Now, number three I want to talk about is one that is going to cause widespread panic. You are going to see a ton of doomsdayers. Every person that has a doomsday style channel, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, doesn't matter. They are going to be utilizing this for months. So please take a breather with me. This is not that big of a deal, but it is something we need to talk about. And that is, there will no longer be MLS compensation offered to either the buyer agent or the listing specialist. So neither one of these parties will have it in the MLS. Everything needs to be negotiated outside of the MLS. The MLS will no longer offer compensation guaranteed. What does this mean for us? Well, we'll talk about that here in a little bit with some of the, you know, what ifs that I'd like to put at the end of this video. And the fourth big change that will be coming with this settlement will be that the buyer representation agreements now are a requirement and no longer a suggestion. This is something that I think the industry has needed for a very, very long time. I'm not upset about this at all. My team and I use buyer rep agreements on every single borrower, and we educate our buyers to let them know exactly what that is about. It is not just about getting them to sign it and moving on. And that is something that a lot of people are probably going to do when this starts coming down the pipeline. I'll talk more on that here in just a moment, but it looks like these settlement changes are going to happen mid-July is the estimate. Now, please keep in mind that they still need to go through the court system. They still need to get everything approved. And it looks like everything's going to be, but the approval process in the courts can take quite a while. But being how this has already moved very quickly so far, I'm kind of curious if that is going to be expedited or if that's going to get pushed out. Most of the time with a big settlement like this, it could take several months for the courts to finally approve everything as they sift through all the paperwork and make sure all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. So, bottom line here is you have until probably July in order to figure your stuff out. If you're not using buyer representation agreements right now, I would highly suggest you start using it, and on top of that, really getting to know what's in that contract and explaining it to your customer as much as you can, or client or consumer, however you like to call them. And the reason being is this will eventually become a mandatory item, and you might as well get on board now. So now let's go ahead and look at each one of these 4 points again and have a further discussion on them and how this might actually affect us. So let's start with that first one, the NAR settlement of $418 million over 4 years. Now, even though NAR is promising us that there will be no increases in dues, I just don't see how that's going to be possible long term. If this amount of money is going to almost bankrupt them, then they're going to need more money. And with more hobbyists going to be getting out of this industry, people that don't sell every single year, or maybe they only sell one every single year, you know, a friend, a family, something like that, and is going to make it a lot more difficult for them to maintain their NAR membership once those dues start rising, which means it will start weeding some of them out, and in turn, NAR will receive less money, and they've got this big bill to pay, not to mention any copycat lawsuits that might continue happening down the road. All of this gives me good reason to believe that our NAR dues will increase, though I don't think dramatically so. We do have a lot of real estate professionals, and so is it going to raise a lot? Is it going to break the bank? Most likely not. So this does beg the question on whether or not this is going to open up NAR to either not be the preferred source anymore, where people will just no longer be a member so they don't have to follow under these guidelines, which I don't think is going to happen. NAR is a big company, a lot of lobbyists, a lot of smart people are at the helm here. I think they're going to figure out a way to make this make sense. And quite frankly, I think a lot of this whole change is just going to cause a little bit of a rift, but ultimately everything will kind of settle. No pun intended. So now let's dive a little bit further into the no compensation being offered on the MLS. Now, the big thing here is a lot of people thought that it was just going to not be required to be on the MLS, as in you could put a big fat zero in that block. But what it sounds like is actually going to happen is that they are going to remove that as an option entirely for both buyer agents and listing agents. No information whatsoever will be put onto the multiple listing service. Sounds to me like they're trying to take the multiple listing service out of it so that they don't get in trouble with this in the future. And this is part of the change that they thought needed to happen. I actually don't think this is all that bad of a thing. I think a lot of people are going to demonize this as being really bad. And there are certain things that it is bad for the consumer on, I think. I think it hurts buyers in general a little bit because now it increases the cost to be able to purchase. The barrier to entry into home ownership is going to get a little bit tougher. But that also means the industry as a whole is going to make some adjustments. I forecast that we will see flat fee buyer specialists. I forecast that Zillow will jump on this like a freaking animal and offer a flat fee compensation. Hey, we will get a buyer specialist for you. You can pay a flat fee of $500, $1,000, whatever that number happens to be for them to represent you. And that's about one of the biggest things that I don't like about this is that it is giving Zillow a bigger foothold. But of course, this is purely conjecture. We don't actually know. So now, whenever we're working with buyers, we need to ensure that we are getting paid because we're not going to be able to work for free. At least, I don't see any brokers really handling that except maybe boutique brokers where they say, hey, if you've got the listing, you can work with the buyer for free as a buyer agent. At least, I don't see that happening. It's going to be an E&O insurance nightmare. Now, it is important to note that the lawsuit settlement does state that the seller can still provide concessions to the buyer, which those concessions can be used to pay the buyer agent compensation. But there is now going to be a skill that is involved with working with buyers. We are now going to have to prove our worth, which is outstanding for the consumer as a whole. We might not like it as professionals that are in the industry that are now going to have to work harder for our money or even possibly get downgraded a little bit in the amount of income that we earn on that sector. I don't know. If our skill set is not there, it could harm us. And as agents might not like this, I really do believe this is great for the consumer in general, just from that standpoint. Now, I don't think it's good that the buyer is now having to pay the buyer agent. I just think that it's very good that there's going to be transparency, at least long term. There will probably be 6 months to a year of pain as everybody starts adjusting, and hobbyists and part-time realtors might have to start adjusting how they work if they even stay in the industry at all, especially the ones that seem to be a little bit buyer heavy. Now let's go ahead and move on to the buyer agency agreement that needs signed. I think this is something that should have been done a long damn time ago. In fact, I've been doing buyer representation agreements since day one in the industry. Every time I fail to get one signed, I ultimately have an issue. It is setting a boundary. It is letting everybody know how we're going to work with them. I think it is ludicrous that this wasn't a requirement in the first place. There should have been something in place, and not just to tie the buyer to the agent, but also to let the buyer know exactly how we're representing them and what the pros and cons are. And now that is going to not only be a requirement, but is also going to be a requirement to educate them on what this paperwork is. This is not going to be something you just send off and get signed, although I know that there's going to be a lot of real estate professionals that do that, and that irks me a little bit inside, but that's just the industry as a whole. When you've got an industry that makes this kind of money and commissions, and that there is a very low barrier to entry, you're going to have people coming in here and trying to put their hands on it, and that's kind of exactly what's happening. But fear not, all you have to do is learn this one or two page contract that you get with the buyer. And then that, now that means the buyer consultations are probably going to be a lot more prevalent. This pop-tarting buyer thing probably isn't going to work as effectively. When I say pop-tarting, I mean like a pop-tart out of a toaster. That's what I call it when an agent gets a phone call and they go, I want to see 123 Main Street. And they go, pop, yep, yes, sir. And they just run out the door. I think this is bad practice. This is bad for the consumer, and it's definitely bad for the real estate professional. So I'm super glad to see this get put in play. And for those of you that have already been doing this, you're three legs up on the competition, as all the other brokerages and team leaders and individuals out there are watching videos and trying to learn how to train to get this piece of paper signed and what it means and how to educate their buyer properly. A lot of the people that have been doing this for a very long time are already ahead of the curve. So if that's you, congratulations, you're ahead of the curve. And if that's not you and you're going to have to relearn all of this stuff, take a breather. It's all right. It's not that difficult. It'll take you about 2 hours to really learn everything that's in it, and then you'll be good to go like the rest of us. But I would urge you guys to start practicing this right now. Like every buyer from this moment, from the moment you see this video on, I believe you guys should be doing this. And I also believe you should be putting a little number inside of that box of compensation. One of the things that I've seen a lot of people do in the past where they were getting the buyer representation agreement signed, they weren't checking in that little box, and they also weren't checking in a cancellation fee. And I think those are two things that we're going to need to do now, because here's what they used to say, and I've actually been trained on this from a brokerage. I'm not going to say who it is because there's a lot of lawsuits going on. They would say, just skip that section, leave it blank, and if they ask about it, just say, don't worry, the seller pays my way. You don't have to do that. We're not doing that. Right? So that's not something I've ever done, but that is something that I've seen brokerages teach before. So be very careful about that. Part of this lawsuit is that we now educate the buyer as well. It's not just about getting the piece of paper signed. So if you want to make sure you're up to date on all of the information that we receive here, then go ahead and make sure you go down below, hit the subscribe button, and ding that little bell so that you'll be notified every single time I do a new video. I will try to keep up with this when I can, but this channel is not really about this kind of new stuff. It is mainly for agent training and teaching agents the different things that I've learned over the years. So if that helps you, then definitely subscribe. And I'd love to hear you guys' comments down below in the comment section. I will be reading all of them and replying to as many as possible. So I really appreciate you guys giving me your feedback, even if it's bad, even if the world's doomsday, even if whatever your thoughts are, really, really leave it down below. I'd love to have a little bit of a conversation about it. Again, my name is Mr. Mongo, and I'll see you guys in the next one.